That a preacher who means business ever preached to. And another reason I like to preach to preachers is they need it so badly. These preachers always giving out. You know, a fellow goes broke all going out, nothing come in, doesn't he? And I like to preach to preachers because I know I need preaching to myself. And my, how feasted Dr. Lee Robertson, Dr. Bob Jones, and Dr. McCall, and other, Dr. Jesse Henley, and my brother Bill this week. Well, we're glad you're here. God bless you. Now we'll come to the final service of this conference. Next year, God willing, we're coming again. Now let me ask you a question. Would you rather have the conference next year, would you rather have it begin July the 5th, or to have it begin a week later, we'll say July, what's the 12th? No, wait a minute. July, would you rather have it begin July the 4th, or a week later, July the 11th? How many would rather have the conference begin on July the 4th next year of the 2 days? Let's see your hand. Hold your hand up high. How many would rather have it begin July the 4th? All right. How many would rather have it begin on July 11th? Let's see your hand. All right, this Winston-Salem crowd, they're all set on this. See, the mill shut down up there and they get the vacation the last 2 weeks in July. And they'd rather have it that time. Well, listen, what's the matter? How many don't give a hang? Let's see your hand. That's what I thought. All right. Well, I want you to pray about it. We'll be back here with you next year, and I'll announce it within right away in the sword of the Lord, within a few weeks, God willing. And you want to set your time, get your vacation, and we'll have a great time together. Now, let us thank the Lord for the good treatment we've had. Having the Philippi's and the nice kitchen staff and the office, the staff here, haven't they been kind to us? Well, do you feel like giving them a good hand? That's the way I feel about it. Brotherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. I'm amazed at the heresies that can come in among people that say they're Christians and yet they've led off into every kind of false doctrine and heresy. Among these is that so-called doctrine of the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. It's a startling thing that anybody could be misled on it, and you may be sure that anybody who is misled on it is not very well founded in the Bible. Yet in Sunday school literature and in Christian magazines and in preachers, I keep talking, reading and hearing where people are talking about the fatherhood of God. God is the father of everybody. I was reading a book the other day, and they sent it for review, and we might possibly use it in the Sword Book Club. And one man said, I'm just thinking that God is the father of all these people in the factories and so on. And again, somebody says that these people, the heathen people in Africa, they're God's children too. Now, there's nothing could possibly be further from the truth. And I want to talk to you about this heresy and do some straight Bible teaching tonight on the question of the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. There are lots of scriptures I could give you, but I'll start in John chapter 8. In John chapter 8, there's some verses on this matter that'll help us, I think, to start with. And then if I can just get time to do it, I want to read many, many scriptures. Let's read in verse 23 and 24, John 8, 23 and 24, Jesus and the Pharisees. He said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Now notice, Jesus said, I am from above, and you're from beneath. I am from God, you're from somebody else. And if you do not believe that I am what I claim to be, the virgin-born Son of God, God come in human flesh, you shall die in your sins, and whither you go, you cannot come. Now notice then, Jesus said there's a clear distinction. Somebody said, well, everybody has some of God in them, and Jesus just made it more than others. No, not just there's a difference in degree, there's a difference in kind. Jesus is from above, and we are from beneath. Jesus is from God, and we're the tainted children of the devil by nature, and must be born again. Let's, in the same 8th chapter, let's read further. Begin with verse 38. I speak that which I have seen with my Father. Ye do that which ye have seen with your Father. He's talking about to these Pharisees, these nice, moral people, church-going, praying, tithing people. Listen to what it says. I speak that which I have seen with my Father. Ye do that which ye have seen with your Father. Jesus said, my Father is one God, one is one Father, your Father is another. We're from different ends. I'm from above, you're from beneath. I'm from God, you're from the devil. We read on. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto him, if ye were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. They said unto him, we be not born of fornication. Now here they hint that Jesus, they knew that Jesus was born when Mary, Jesus was conceived when Mary was not married. They said it was by fornication. What they're saying is that Mary played the harlot and that Jesus was born of fornication. They hint that. They say, well, we're not born of fornication like you are, but at least they hint. We have one Father, even God. Now notice, the Pharisees claim to be children of God. These Pharisees are teaching the doctrine of the universal fatherhood of God, and that they, unconverted people, they say, are the children of God, and God's their Father. That's what they claim. Let's see how Jesus answered that. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my words, your enemies in nature. You're blinded to the truth. You cannot because you're sinful. You're from the devil. Read on. Ye are your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it, because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? Jesus is saying, I'm one kind, you're another kind. Nobody here can convince me of sin. I'm sinless, you're sinful. I'm from God, you're from the devil. That's what Jesus says to them. He's saying the doctrine that God's the Father of everybody is false, and he says, you are not the children of God. I read on now. He said, which of you convinces me of sin? If I say the truth, why you do not believe me? He that is God of God heareth God's words. Therefore, ye hear them not, because ye are not of God. Now he is plainly saying, the Pharisees, you've got one father, I've got another. I'm from above, you're from beneath. God's my father, he said Satan is your father. You're of your father the devil, and his works ye will do. Now let's divide the subject into these simple two heads. First I'll talk about the fatherhood of God, and second I'll talk about the brotherhood of man, and I'll show what is wrong and what is right on these two themes according to the Bible. First of all, I want you to know that all the world is of one flesh, created by God and created by in one line. Everybody here on the earth is kin to everybody else. There are two or three scriptures that say that. Some people say, well, man came up by evolution, and maybe he started over here, and then maybe another group started over here, and so on. Maybe the colored people had one ancestry, came up from apes one way, and maybe the Indian people came another way, and white people another. No. No, the Bible clearly says, in many different places, that everybody on the earth came from the same stock by the creation of God. First, in Genesis chapter 3, the scripture says, Genesis 3 and verse 20, and Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Everybody here is kin in the flesh, not in the spirit. Everybody here is kin according to the flesh. Humanly speaking, everybody here descended from Eve and from Adam. And now then, verse 19, these are the three sons of Noah, Ham and Shem and Japheth. These are the three sons of Noah, and of them was the whole earth overspread. Now everybody in the earth came not only from Adam and Eve, but when Noah and his three sons were left after the flood, everybody else was killed. So everybody here is descended from Noah and from Ham and Shem and Japheth. All the races in the world, all the white people, all the colored people, all the brown people, all the black people, all the yellow people, everybody in the world humanly descended from Adam and Eve and descended from Noah and his three sons. That's told us again in Acts chapter 17. Paul is preaching in Acts chapter 17, and he says to the people at Athens, he listened to it, verse 26, and God hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. That's made quite clear in one thing, because men, women may marry and produce offspring and mix the races. And because of that possibility, that's quite clear. They're all of one race. But their blood, you can take blood in the blood banks, and you can't tell the difference whether it's Gentile blood or Jewish blood, whether it's white blood or colored blood, whether it's Chinese blood, or whether it's Malayan blood, or Filipino blood, or Korean blood. You can't tell. I'm just saying, because God made everybody of the same blood that dwells on the earth, and appointed the place for the habitation. So then, let's put this down, that humanly speaking, God created everybody in the world. However, I want you to understand, that does not mean that God is the Father. That doesn't mean that God is the Father of everybody. God made all the cows, too. So then that you're going to say that makes your brother every old steer. And God made the hogs, too. You're going to say, okay, then my brother pig. Are you going to say that? Huh? And God made the rattlesnakes, too. You're going to say, well, my snake brother. Well, Jesus did say of certain people, you're of your father the devil. He said, you generation of vipers. That's another word for snake. So, but don't you see that it doesn't make you a child of God, because God created you. God created you, but doesn't make you a child of God. And doesn't make you spiritually, religiously a brother, because you're kin in the flesh. All right. Now, with that in mind, let's go a little further here. And I want you to notice about the fatherhood of God. First of all, that Jesus is God's Son. Now, I say that because that's a very peculiar relationship. It's different. It's unique. Jesus is the Son of God. The Bible says God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. What do you mean? I mean, we're the sons of God, too. But I was begotten physically of my Father. When I was conceived and came into being, I was begotten of my human father. But Jesus had no human father. He was begotten of the Holy Ghost. And God worked a miracle so that Jesus was born of a virgin without a human father. So there's a peculiar sense in which Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. He is in a unique sense the Son of God. When Jesus said to the Pharisees, I am from above and ye are from beneath, Jesus stated the difference between Him and everybody else in this world. When Jesus said, I am from God, you are not from God. I am from above, you are from beneath. God's my Father, you are of your father the devil. He made a distinction that is a real distinction between Jesus and every other person ever born in the world in their native state. Every person natural born is an enemy of God by nature. The Bible says that. The Bible makes it quite clear. But Jesus is the very Son of God. Jesus has no taint of sin. The Bible calls us, we're children of disobedience. We're children of wrath. Jesus said to the Pharisees, you'll make others twofold more a child of hell than you are. Child of the devil, child of wrath, child of hell, child of disobedience. Those are terms God uses about every unconverted person. But Jesus Christ was never that. Jesus never needed to be converted. Jesus never needed to repent. Jesus never did any sin. Jesus was born of God and is the unfallen and untainted and perfect Son of God. So much so that He perfectly represents the Father. God turned creation over to Him. And so by Him all things are created. And without Him was not anything made that was made. The Bible makes clear. He's the express image of the Father. God calls Him God and addresses Him in the Psalms. He said, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. In Isaiah 9 and verse 6, the Scripture says, Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. Jesus is God. He is the nature of God. He has the power of God. He has all the righteousness of God. His name is called the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. All right, I'm just saying that Jesus is God's Son in a peculiar sense that nobody else is God's Son. You see, Jesus was born without sin. I was born with sin. Jesus was born without any taint. I have a taint from the time I was conceived in this world, the fall of Adam. the fall of Eve, the taint and the blood was brought on me as I was conceived in the by a human union of a human father who was sinful and a human mother who was sinful. So I say I had the taint of sin by birth. Jesus had none. He's the perfect, sinless Son of God from the beginning. He's the Son. He's the Son of our Father. Of Heavenly Father. He is God's own Son, Jesus Christ. All right. Jesus is the Son of God in a unique sense. That's the reason you must believe in the virgin birth. Because Jesus, to be the unique Son of God, must be unique in His birth. A kind of birth nobody else ever had. Now then, another thing. Not only that Jesus is God's Son, but unconverted men are naturally children of Satan. And so on. Let me read you again so nobody will misjudge. So nobody will think I'm making it up. In John chapter 8 and verse 60, let's see. John 8 verse 44. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father he will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. Ye are of your father the devil. Now notice, these Pharisees said, God's our father. No, Jesus said, you're of your father the devil. You're of your father the devil. In Matthew chapter 23, Jesus said, woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. He said, when you make a proselyte, you compass land and sea to make a proselyte, and then make him twofold more a child of hell than yourself. Notice, Jesus said, you're children of hell. Are you a child of the devil? Your father the devil. You're children of hell. And now in Ephesians 2:2, he said, you're children of disobedience. And then in Ephesians 2:3, he said, you were the children of wrath, even as others. So by nature, what is man? By nature, a man is a child of the devil. He is a child of hell. He's a child of wrath. He's a child of disobedience. That means that in the nature, a child of wrath, yes, because God's wrath's on sin. He's tainted with sin from Adam and Eve and on down through the years. All right, so then the wrath of God on him by birth. And a child of disobedience, yes, that disobedience that reached out and plucked the forbidden fruit. That disobedience has turned every sinful heart by nature away from God ever since. A child of disobedience. A child of hell, because that's the natural destiny of every poor, native, lost man in the world. Unless God, by a miracle, changes him and makes him a child of God. By nature, he's headed for hell and for wrath. So a child of wrath, a child of disobedience, a child of hell, you're of your father the devil. Every person ever born was born wrong, but Jesus. Every person ever come into this world was tainted by nature and was fallen by nature, alien from God, and without promise and without hope, except Jesus Christ alone. All right, then men by nature are not children of God. What a sin it is to teach even little children that they are children of God. They are not. You should teach little children, you know that lie you told? That's a sign that you got the devil in you. You need to be born again. You little children, you didn't mind, Mother. That's why I'm going to have to whip you. God punishes sin. You are sinful by nature. You must turn from that and ask Jesus to forgive you. Every little child ought to be taught that this sinfulness is in him because by nature he's a fallen sinner and he needs to repent and turn to Jesus Christ. Don't you tell little children unconverted. Don't you tell anybody who's unconverted that they're children of God. They are not children of God. They are by nature the children of Satan. They are by nature the children of hell, the children of wrath, the children of disobedience. That's what the Bible says. Bible language ought to be good enough for Christians. Is that right or not? Is that right? Yes, sir. So then, this idea that God is the Father of all men everywhere, that's a devil's doctrine contrary to Bible doctrine. God is not spiritually the Father of lost and unconverted men. Only those born again. You see another thing here? The Scripture says that not only lost men by nature are actually children of Satan, children of hell, children of disobedience, children of wrath, and so on, but they're by a miracle, thank God, by a miracle, lost sinners headed for hell, children of wrath, children of disobedience, with a tainted fallen nature, by a miracle, God can transplant them into the kingdom of His dear Son. By a miracle, God can make them children of God. That's what the Bible says. And John 1, 11 and 12, verse 12, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Power to be authority, to be a son of God. That's what I got when I put my trust in Jesus Christ. Over in 1 John 3, 2, the scripture said, Beloved, now are we the children of God. It doth not now yet appear what we shall be, but we are now already the children of God. That is, believers, converted people are now the children of God. And in Galatians, the scripture says, writing to born-again people, only to Christians, the scripture says, here, we are all the children of God by faith. Those who have come to Jesus Christ in faith are children of God. The miracle happened. That's the reason Jesus said, Nicodemus, you're a Pharisee. Yeah. You fast till twice a week, perhaps. You bring tithes of all you possess, I guess. You go to church. You bring your tithes. Do you? Okay. Well, listen. You've got to be born again, Nicodemus. Unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said, I'm a ruler of the Jews. I'm a member of the Sanhedrin. I'm one of the 70 elders picked out for their piety and the knowledge of the law. And what do you say? How can a man be born again? And Jesus said, except a man be born of water, in that case the washing with the Word, and the Spirit, the blessed Holy Spirit that works regeneration, unless a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Now listen, you may take the nicest child ever born in a good home and brought up in a nice home and atmosphere and taught what was right, and taken to Sunday school, and taught little songs about Jesus, and taught to pray every night, and memorize Scripture. You can take that little child, but never mind, it's still true. That which is born of the flesh is still flesh. It isn't spirit. That which is born of the flesh is still only flesh. It may be very refined and educated flesh, but it's still flesh. It's not spirit. That it may be very cultured and well-trained flesh, but it's only flesh. That which is born of the flesh is only flesh. And you've got to be born of the Spirit of God, a regeneration, a miracle by God's grace, or you'll never meet God in peace. So God says, Nicodemus, Jesus said, Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Now, why did he say born? Why the picture of birth? Why didn't he say you've got to join something? Why didn't you say you got to be initiated? Why didn't you say you got to be baptized? Why didn't you say you've got to learn a creed? Because what he's talking about is something that you can't get except in the nature of birth itself, in the origin, the genesis, in the beginning of a nature. You get that only by birth. You can't become a child of your father except by birth. You can't have his blood in you. You can't have his characteristics. You can't look like him. You can't feel like him. You can't be kin to him except by birth. It's true, a father can adopt a child, but that doesn't make the child look like the father. It doesn't make the child of the same blood as the father. Now, God does adopt us, but that's only one of the things he does. First, we must be born again. And then he adopts us officially into full-fledged adult members of the family as we're already born children in the family. You see, you must be born again, Nicodemus. That's the reason that over in Peter we're told that we've been made partakers of the divine nature. Listen, I have been made a partaker of the divine nature. I am God's son, God's own son. That's the reason that over yonder in Romans chapter 7, Paul says, when I would do good, evil is present with me. I still have the old nature. But thank God I've got the new nature and want to do right. I've got a new nature. Every lost person has only one nature, and it's bad. It's of the devil. But every saved person has two natures, has still the old natures trying to keep down, and has a new nature, and they fight. So when I would do good, evil is present with me. But thank God for that new nature. That's the reason old Lot. The old nature kept Lot down in Sodom, but thank God the new nature made him miserable down there. Oh, he vexed his righteous soul day by day with unlawful deeds. He had a righteous soul as well as the fleshly nature wanted to make money. Did you know that?
Listen.
If a man said to me, Brother Rice, do you believe? A Church of Christ preacher said to me years ago, do you believe, do you, that you can trust in Jesus Christ and be born again and have everlasting life and you're God's forever and forever? And I said, yes, sir, thank God. I am now a child of God. I'm already born into the family. I'm already partaker of the divine nature. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. He said, if I believe that, I'd believe on him right quick and then I'd just go and have my fill of sin. I said, if you haven't already had your fill of sin, you've never been born again. If you've not got to where you hate it and despise it. Don't misunderstand me. I don't say that every saved person isn't tempted or so it doesn't fall into sin. But my brother, listen, if you can go on in sin and it doesn't bother you, I doubt if you've ever been saved. If there's no stirring of your conscience, if there's nothing that rebukes you, if there's nothing that makes you unhappy, listen, you may be saved like Peter and tempted and sinned like Peter. But if you do, you'll go out weeping bitterly. Did you know that? Something's in there that hates it. Something in there that rebukes you. Did you know that? Yes, sir. You may be like Lot that you'll do wrong down in Sodom. But if you do, you'll vex your righteous soul if you've been converted. For over in 1 John, the Bible says that which is born of God doesn't sin. The new nature doesn't sin. Because his seed remains in him that he cannot sin. Listen, if you're a child of God, a miracle has taken place and there's a new creature inside that's conceived of the Spirit of God and miraculously regenerated in you. And so there's a part of you that has the nature of God that cannot sin. There's another part that does sin, and the part that can't sin hates that part and tries to put it down. Now, put this down. If you don't have a new nature, you're not a Christian. God is a father only of those who have a new nature inside. They may have the old nature. They have the temptations and carnal things of the flesh to fight and put down. But everybody who's born of God has a new nature, is a partaker of the divine nature, is now a child of God. That's a wonderful truth. My, what a wonderful thing. And how do I get to be a child of God? Listen, all the working in the world can't make you a child of God. That has to be the miracle of life itself. The miracle of a birth, a conception and birth. And God himself, by his loving kindness, has seen fit to change and give a new heart and a new birth, a new nature to people that put their trust in Jesus Christ and depend on him. A new nature, a child of God, born of God, the Bible says. That's a wonderful truth. Now let's see further. Man, he'd won in personal conversation that week. Now this is what I started to tell you. When he was 47 years old, the dairyman began to come to his plant to buy feed from his feed mill. And the dairyman was a sharp guy. He'd just buy feed enough for one day for his cows and put that in his pickup truck. He could have bought more, but no, he'd buy enough for his feed cows for one day. And then he'd come and talk to Fred Hawkins about the Bible and tell him he needed to be saved and show him scriptures. And then he'd come back the next day to buy feed for his dairy cows. Again, his big dairy. And they'd talk to Fred Hawkins about his soul. Fred Hawkins said that went on for 3 months, every day except Sunday. And every day but one, he bought his Bible. And that day, he bought a Bible and brought it to me. A Bible said, this is it. A Bible or Testament was. And he showed his scriptures and told him he needed a new heart. He kept talking. And Fred Hawkins got so burdened. And one day, he came down to the mill at 5 o'clock in the morning. And he went down into the basement of the mill. And he said, this sounds funny, 5 o'clock in the morning. He said he's afraid somebody would be looking in the window up there and see him on his knees. So he went down the basement, down by the big engine, on the concrete floor, knelt down to pray. And this is the way he prayed. He said, oh, Lord, he said, my friend, keep telling me that you give people a new heart. He said, if you've got a new heart, I sure need one. He said, Lord, I'm not going to promise you I won't drink. He said, I promised my wife and I broke my promise. I promised and vowed and I've broken it every time. I won't promise you I won't cuss. I've just tried and tried not to cuss, and I curse before my wife. I'm cursed before friends. I'm embarrassed all the time about it, and it seems like I can't quit it. He said, Lord, I don't promise you anything about what I can do, but my friend keeps telling me that you can give me a new heart. Well, if you've got a new heart for me, Lord, I want it, he said. And the Lord gave him a new heart. Well, he went on. He didn't tell anybody much about it. He only kind of wanted to see what he really had. And a day or two after that, he mashed his finger very bad. And you know what he said? He said, you know, I didn't cuss. He said, I got to thinking, well, what do you know? I got hurt, and I didn't cuss. Didn't want to cuss. Well, he said, that reminds me, I haven't cussed these 3 days since I asked Jesus for a new heart. And he said, that isn't all. I haven't wanted a drink. He took me down. We drove down through southern Missouri, and we passed a honky-tonk. He said, I used to get drunk there. And he said, another place we went along, said, I used to haul flour down here, and I'd stop that place for beer. And then something said, over here, the boys and I used to play poker and so on. He looked at me, and his lips trembled, and tears ran down his face, and Fred Hawkins said, Brother John, thank God, I just don't want it anymore. I thank God I got a new heart, and the Lord somebody fixed it up, and I don't need that stuff. I just don't want that crowd and that stuff. I got a new heart. Now, let me tell you, I don't mean to intimate that when you're saved that you'll never be tempted. But I do say, thank God, God can put a new heart in an old sinner and make him a new creature. That's what. Now, here's the second part on the brotherhood of man. And I'm taking longer than I intended. First of all are akin in the flesh. But that doesn't mean spiritually. Should I help colored people? Certainly. Should I call a Christian colored man brother? Certainly I should. Should I try to treat everybody of any race fair and square? Yes, sir. Is everybody equal? Well, everybody's equal before the law, at least as far as rights is concerned in America. Everybody's right. I don't think anybody ought to have to hire anybody. It doesn't fit in with his schedule. I don't think in my work of yonder I ought to be by law required to hire Catholics. They couldn't do my work as well as some good born-again Christians could. But I say as far as the rights and privileges in our country, thank God everybody, black and white, educated and ignorant, have the same privileges, and that's the way I want it. And that's the way you want it too. Ought I to feel accountable for others, to love them and help them? I certainly ought. We're one race, yes, but mainly God loves them. But that does not mean that I'm spiritually above it. Here's a modern infidel. He doesn't believe the Bible, I do. He says Jesus is a man, a good man, but not God in human form. I say he's God incarnate. He said, I don't believe in the virgin birth. I do believe in the virgin birth. He said, I don't believe what the Bible says about Jesus rising from the dead. But I know he did rise from the dead. That man's not my brother. That man's not going where I'm going. That man hasn't had what I've had, a new heart. That man, Jesus would say to him, like he said to the Pharisees, ye are of your father the devil, and his works ye will do. He is not a born-again Christian. Nobody is my spiritual brother but born-again Christian. But isn't it good, thank God, the kinship between Christians? Somebody said, Brother Isa, one Baptist brother sent me word and said, Brother Isa, I don't see how you can go and hold revival campaigns and with Methodists and Presbyterians and Christian Missionary Alliance and so many other people. Well, I said, bless God. You know, my preaching, I don't change my preaching. I just go right down the line. And as long as I don't label it with some denominational name and I prove it's by the Bible, well, God's people love it. Did you know that? God's born-again people, the people that are born again and believe the Bible, they love old-time Bible preaching. Now, they wouldn't if I was one of these puff-headed Baptists and bragging on the Baptists and running down denominations. And if I were worshiping at the idolatrous shrine of denomination, they wouldn't like that. But good born-again Christians love Bible preaching. Brother, if you exalt Jesus Christ, there are lots of people that are born again going to like it. And I thank God I feel at home. Listen, I would rather have fellowship if there were a Roman Catholic priest that believes the Bible and loves Jesus Christ and trusted him. I'd rather have fellowship with him than with a Baptist preacher that didn't believe the Bible. Amen. Yes, sir. I'll tell you, I thank God I'm a brother to all the children of God born again. I'll tell you the verse of Scripture that set me out in Union Revival Campaign. The verse of Scripture found in the Bible over in the 119th Psalm, the Scripture says, let's see if I can say the words exactly like it. There he is. He said, it is the word brother. What is it now? I'm a companion of all them that love thy word. I'm a companion of all them that love thy word. I'll say, bless God. Anybody comes along, said, I'm for Jesus Christ and the Bible and getting sinners converted. I'm for the whole book, the bless God for it. I say, brother, shake my hand. You and I are going the same way. That's right. Well, somebody said, suppose he's not baptized. I might answer like Dr. W.B. Riley did. Somebody mentioned my dear friend, Dr. Moyer. Dr. Moyer had a brethren, a background. And so somebody said, some people thought he was a Presbyterian. He was not, but he was a brethren background, and he'd been baptized by immersion, though Southern Baptist friends at that time didn't know it. So somebody were criticizing Dr. Riley, and they said, Dr. Riley is working with an unbaptized believer. And so Dr. Riley answered back and said, you Southern Baptists join in the Baptist World Alliance with Harry Emerson Fosdick and all kinds of infidels, never been converted, don't claim to be, and don't believe the Bible at all. He said, what's the difference? I go with some unbaptized believers. You go with baptized unbelievers. Now, which you think's worse? Which you think's worse? Now, the truth, we'd better put it down this way. Well, Christian fellowship ought to be on the basis of people that are born again and for Jesus Christ in the Bible. That's right. Did you know that? That's what it ought to be. Not somebody's busting and pulling for my program, but the fellow that's for Jesus Christ in the Bible, born again, going to heaven, he loves God, he lived for Jesus, he's winning souls, that man's my brother. Now, I may, as I go along, I might try to set him right on some things. I might try to get him baptized, and I might try to explain the Bible to him, and some other things as I go along. But I'm going to be a brother of the fellow that's for Jesus Christ and has a new heart and is going to heaven and is a member of the body of Christ. Is that right? And that's what Christians ought to do. That's right. Now, that doesn't mean I won't preach the whole Bible. That doesn't mean I won't have conviction. But I tell you right now, thank God that people that are born again are blood-bought and blood-brothers. Isn't that good? And I tell you, it's wonderful to feel how kin one is to those that love God, born again. Well, let's see now, this brotherhood of God, a brotherhood of men, we're all akin in the flesh, but we're not all spiritual. But born-again Christians, thank God, are our brothers, and we can be grateful. Now, only a spiritual birth to the same Father makes us spiritual brethren. No, you can't join a church, and that doesn't make you a brother. Here's one man going to hell, another man going to heaven. Now, I don't care if you're in this work in the same store, it doesn't make you brothers. If you're a member of the same church, it doesn't make you brothers. If you're a member of the same lodge, it doesn't make you brothers. Is that right? Let me read it to you. I turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians 6 and begin with verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. A yoke of a believer with an unbeliever is an unequal yoke. Why? For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Everybody that's saved has God's righteousness put in his heart by faith. Is that right? And everybody who is unsaved has the devil nature in him and is of his father the devil, and the devil's works will do. Is that right? And the time together, one's going this way and one that. You're tied together, and that's wrong. Listen now. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Sinners love the light because their deeds are evil. But Christians walk in the light of Christ. What concord hath Christ with Belial or Belial? Or what part is he that believeth that an infidel? For what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Here's one Christian. The blessed Holy Spirit lives in that body. He's a born-again Christian, and the Spirit of God dwells in this temple. Now then, here's a Christian man marries a lost woman, or a Christian woman marries a lost man, and one is the temple of God, and the other is the temple of idols. One is the temple of God, the other is the habitation of devils. That's an unequal yoke. That's wrong. That's a sin. Or people bind themselves together by a bloody oath, and one's going to heaven, the other's going to hell. One's a temple of God, the other's a temple of idols and Satan. That's wrong. What agreement is the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. For as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Now, where ought a Christian to call brotherhood? Where ought a Christian to call brotherhood? With born-again Christians, not ever with unsaved people. Is that right? Where ought Christians to be yoked up? With born-again people, not with ungodly people. You see that? No, sir, this idea of brotherhood, spiritual brotherhood, is on the basis. Have you been born of God? Are you a new creature? Have you put your trust in Jesus Christ? If you have, I can say my brother, my sister, and thank God I'll expect to meet you in heaven. All right, let's see then. Another word or two, and I'm done, about this doctrine, the fatherhood of God, the brotherhood of man. Jesus is our elder brother. You know, there's a wonderful teaching here in Hebrews about Jesus as the Son of God and as our elder brother. And you listen in a moment, I'm sure. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10, for it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things. God, everything's made for him. He made everything made by him. For whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain
of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all of one. Now he's talking about sanctification here in the sense of when you're saved, you're set apart for God. You're taken out of the devil's lot and put in the Lord's sheepfold, and you're set apart for God. In that sense, sanctified. He, by one offering, he has sanctified forever, perfected forever them that are sanctified. So then, but he that sanctifieth and they that are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. It's all right for you to call Jesus Christ your big brother. He's not ashamed to be called our brethren, our brother. And saying, I'll declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again I put my trust in him. And behold, again behold, I am the children which God hath given me. Now then, verse 17. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. Oh, Jesus became our brother. How is that? Well, you know, Jesus was born of a virgin by a miracle, conceived of the Holy Ghost. Is that right? Now, my first birth wasn't like that, but my second birth was like that. My second birth, I was conceived of the Holy Ghost spiritually and made into a child of God. And now Jesus said, I'm not ashamed to call John Rice brother. I'm not ashamed to call Roland Sherrard brother. I'm not ashamed to call Paul Raker my brother. A wonderful Jesus. You know what God's plan is for us? The Bible says, as he is, so are we in this world. You know, the Bible says, let this mind be in you which is in Christ. He's your pattern, your older brother. You know how younger boys like to follow an older brother. Down in hell, the rich man in hell says, my five brothers, they're lost. They're coming like I am. You see, brothers like to follow brothers. So let Christians, let us follow our elder brother. He's not ashamed to call us brethren. And you know what God's plan is? God's plan is that we are now the sons of God, but God is planning to end us up in the perfect image of Jesus. Did you know that? The Bible said he has foreordained us that we should be made into the image of his Son. So thank God one of these good days we'll be like him. We'll be like Jesus, our own elder brother, blessed Savior. Well, that's a blessed truth. How do you get to be a child of God? Born again. How do you get to be a brother of Jesus Christ? Born again. Take him as Savior. Depend on him. And you get the new nature. Now then, last of all, let's come out and be separate. And, dear friend, let me ask you this. Are you born of God? How many here tonight say, Brother Rice, hallelujah, I'm a child of God. Hallelujah, I'm born again. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be. I can't imagine how wonderful it'll be when all the sins gone, all the taints gone, when I'm made just as good as Jesus Christ. But thank God I know we're now the sons of God. Isn't that wonderful? Beloved, now the sons of God. How many say, thank God I'm born of God. I have a new heart. I'm not talking about you being sinless. I'm not talking about your righteousness. I'm talking about you've got his righteousness planted in you. How many say, I am born of God, so I'm God's child. I'm born of God. Let's see your hand. Can you say that? Can you say that? All right. Now, you're my brother and my sister then. Thank God for that. Amen. Now, before we go, is there anybody here say, Brother Rice, I'm not a Christian, but I want to be? Let's just see who wants to be saved. We'll bow our head for a moment. Now, Lord, this is the last night of the conference. We've had a blessed time. And, of course, I know that there are not many lost people here. There may not be any, but there may be some. And I want them saved tonight if there are. Dear Lord, if there's anyone here not saved, then let them say, I want to be saved tonight. I want to be a child of God. I don't want to stay a child of the devil. I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Help people to say, I want to be saved. While their heads are bowed, how many will say, Brother Rice, pray for me. I want to be saved. I'm not a Christian, but I want Jesus to give me a new heart and forgive all my sins. Will you say, pray for me? I want to be saved tonight. Do you? Then lift your hand for just a moment. Lift your hand for just a moment, will you? Anybody? Lift your hand for just a moment. Anybody? 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 Is there one? Anywhere? Now the heads bowed. Listen, let me talk to you Christians a minute. How many of you Christians say, well, I'm a child of God, but I'm kind of a black sheep?
I haven't lived up my privileges. If Jesus is my older brother, I haven't been patterning after him enough. I'm born in the family. I'm born of God, but I haven't been living as much like I ought to show up that I'm of the family of God. Will you Christians say, I'm saved, but I want God to give me grace to live up to my privileges and live up to my high name, live up to my family, born of God. Will you say, I want tonight to promise God that he'll help me. I want to be made more in the likeness of my older brother, the Savior. You know, Jesus is lots of things to us. He's our Savior, isn't he? He's our high priest, isn't he? He's our pattern, isn't he? And he's our Passover lamb, isn't he? But thank God he is our elder brother, too. I want a pattern after my older brother, Jesus. God, help me. I start out tonight. I want to live like I was in the family of God. Let's see your hand.
Come on, Christians. That's right. Let's all of us do that. Can't you? And say it mean it. All right. Thank you very much. Now, dear Lord, be with us in power. Lord, now people will be going home tonight or tomorrow. I'll be driving a long way. Will you take care of the car and let us watch carefully? Let no one go to sleep at a wheel. Let no one have accidents, dear Lord. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. So be with us, Lord. And I pray that next year we'll have a wonderful year. We pray, dear Lord, that when I'll be hearing from people and they'll say, since that conference I've had more people saved. I've enjoyed the Bible more. I've had more power in soul winning. My church has been blessed. Lord, let us hear good things as people go back to their homes. Lord, raise up friends for the sword of the Lord. Help us, Lord, to get the 200,000 circulation by September of 1954, our 20th anniversary. Raise up friends that I can send 100 subscriptions. I can take it to my church. I can get people to work at it. Lord, give us friends about that. Help us in getting out the books. Help me, Lord. I've got more I can do. I pray, bless me and keep me burdened for sinning. Lord, bless Brother Gerard. Help us hear the music and with bless Jenny, Mrs. Gerard. Bless Brother Paul Waker. He's been so kind. Comes every year, brings his friends. Helps take these sermons down. And bless these boys and helps at the ushering. And Mrs. Giles, bless her. She's gone on her way, but she worked all week at the book table. Lord, bless the speakers that came to help. Lord, I pray, fill us with the Holy Spirit and let us remember to win souls and let us be true and never sell out, Lord, to please men for Jesus' sake. Amen.